is Radio Superior 1942, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1942. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1942. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
You are tuned to station KUWS. Yes, this is Jack McKenna speaking, and it's Tuesday, November the 17th, 1942. 6 o'clock standard wartime. Time for the news with Lou Martin. The news is brought to you by Brayman's Music Company at 1511 Tower Avenue, where they just received White Christmas by Bing Crosby. Good evening, Lou. What's on tap tonight?
Ray Paulson will be with us with sports, and Harriet Farrig takes a look at what's playing at the theaters.
Well, we've simply got to see the Flying Tigers at the Beacon, Lou.
Well, we'll see, Jack. Good evening, listeners. The United States is holding sea supremacy in the Solomon Islands. Secretary of Navy Knox told reporters in Washington today that action in the South Pacific in the past few days has brought about the fiercest naval battle of the war. 11 Japanese warships and 12 cargo and support vessels have been sunk, with another 7 ships that were damaged. Between 20 and 40,000 Japanese sailors and soldiers were lost in this great battle, which Secretary of Navy Knox declares a naval victory at Guadalcanal. But Knox cautions that the fight is not finished in that island group near Australia. After more than 3 months of hard fighting, it appears Japan may not be able to resupply its troops there or in other actions at New Guinea. Knox compared this sea battle with the First World War major clash in the Battle of Jutland. This victory leaves American troops in complete control of Tulagi Island and its airstrip there. This is considered as a major victory for U.S. forces, and it comes as the first Pacific offensive action. And the Nipponese Imperial Navy had greater numbers of ships and troops in this battle for the Solomons and for Guadalcanal. The battle for the Solomons did cost the United States 8 warships and 2 admirals that were killed. 53-year-old Rear Admiral Norman Scott and Rear Admiral Daniel Colligan lost their lives while leading the battle. United Press Foreign Service correspondent Daryl Berrigan has this special report from Guadalcanal in a shortwave broadcast.
Japan's naval hold swept down on the Solomon Islands to disaster in their all-out effort to smash American power in the South Pacific. When full details of those 3 short but fiery engagements northwest of Guadalcanal on November 13th through 15th become known, they will tell of a story of not only the greatest naval battles ever staged at night, but also of the fiercest slugging combats in all naval history. Admiral Chester W. Nimitz, Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet, said, quote, "I think they brought everything they had. As a result, all the enemy forces were either destroyed or driven back, and a major victory was obtained by our gallant forces," end quote. The Admiral said he was certain the victory would result in the immediate strengthening of the hold we now have on Guadalcanal and the eventual expulsion of the enemy from that strategic island. "The Japs on Guadalcanal," he said, "are suffering from the lack of 2 things, beans and bullets." With the Allies in the Solomon Islands, this is Daryl Berrigan, United Press Foreign Service.
This just in from General MacArthur's headquarters in Australia. A showdown is near at Buna in New Guinea. Converging columns of Australian and American troops moved in on battered Japanese troops for the Japanese base there. The Japanese beachhead continues to shrink as Allied planes strafed and bombed the area. American and Australian forces met at the Kamusi River, leaving the Japanese with only the jungle and the sea at their backs. The Allies will hold air superiority there and hammered resupply ships coming in from the Jap bases at Rabaul in New Britain. A Japanese defeat in Buna could mean the end of their offensive in the Pacific and would force Nipponese troops into a defensive war. A victory for the Allies would also end the immediate invasion threat against Australia. America is fighting this war on several fronts, And good listeners, this may be the most encouraging news that we've had since the days before the sneak attack on Pearl Harbor, forcing us into this conflict. American, French, and British troops are gathering in what may be a victory blow for the Allies in French North Africa. The Mutual Broadcasting System recorded this shortwave broadcast today from Wes Gallagher in Algeria.
British paratroopers have mushroomed deep into Tunisia from United States transport planes, clearing the way for British General Kenneth A. N. Anderson's advancing forces. Radio listeners heard a BC broadcast Monday reporting that a military mission was en route from Dakar, the French stronghold in West Africa, to North Africa, now under American-British occupation. British officials in West Africa interpreted this report as meaning that negotiations for peaceful capitulation of Dakar to the United Nations were underway. British-American advance forces were reported Tuesday to have driven back Axis forward units in the first clash of the battle for Tunisia, and German reports suggested that the Allies were engaged in an enveloping movement aimed at cutting off Bizerte and Tunis in a shortcut dash toward Tripoli. Reporting from French North Africa, this is Wes Gallagher with the United Press Foreign Service.
And we have this report from Associated Press out of Cairo. Marshal Erwin Rommel's forces have been cut to about 75,000 and are in retreat westward into the Libyan desert. A victory in Tunisia would allow U.S. forces to join with General Bernard Montgomery's British tank battalions and drive the Nazis out of Africa. British reports have Rommel's main troop concentration 400 miles east of Tripoli and south of Benghazi. Well, since the Allied invasion of French North Africa 10 days ago, several French merchant and warships have fled Vichy control and joined Allied forces in the Mediterranean. Major General George Patton is using these ships to resupply his troops in North Africa. Well, there may be a turnaround for Russia. The Red Army has stopped Nazi troops in Stalingrad and are cutting them off from reinforcements. Frigid winter weather is setting in, and that's what stopped the Nazi assault last December when it appeared that a German victory over the Soviet forces was imminent. While this news is encouraging, it comes at a very high price. The Office of War Information reports that since last year's attack on Pearl Harbor, almost 49,000 American casualties have been reported, including wounded, missing, killed, and those taken prisoner. The largest number, 17,000, comes from the fall of the Philippine Islands last spring, with another 1,500 lost in the Battle of Java before that. Bremen Music Company News Time is 6:08. Here's Jack McKenna with a word from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lewis. Records, records, and records. Lots of records at Bremen's at 1511 Tower Avenue in Superior. Oh, Bremen's just received 500 albums to select from. Columbia Masterworks, Victor Red Seal are among all of them. Our large studio with three easy chairs will make you comfortable while you and your friends make the selection of your choice. Also just received, White Christmas by Bing Crosby, the big favorite this season. Special for Friday and Saturday. 800 slightly used new recordings at 20 cents each. Folks, that's at Bremen's Music Company, 1511 Tower Avenue, the home of musical merchandise. Lou?
Well, the time is 9 minutes after 6 o'clock, and that's Central Wartime. In a surprise move today, outgoing Douglas County Sheriff Frank Carlson fired two of his top deputies. Harry Kelly and Carl Johnson were told that they are no longer welcome. They were replaced by James Perrin and William Sloan. Kelly's a candidate for sheriff and is waiting for the results of a recount between himself and Elton Eckroth. Kelly remarked that, and we quote now, "This is a nice present to get on my 30th wedding anniversary." Well, the State National Guard will be removed from duty at Ore Docks in Ashland and Superior. Private security firms will take over the duty. The order comes from Governor Julius Heil and went into effect today. Well, the long roll of men leaving Upper Wisconsin to serve their country is growing longer. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Indeed, Ashland, Bayfield, and Burnett counties all are sending men away today. 71 leave Ashland bound for Fort Sheridan in about 5 minutes on the Chicago and Northwestern Railway. Group leaders include Walter Steinmetz and Frank Tomlinson of Ashland, Douglas Angus of LaPointe, Richard Ackley of Odena, David Lorge of Cayuga, and Claude Weaver of Mellon. Also leaving today for Fort Sheridan, Indiana, are outfits from Bayfield County. Group leaders are Alvin Westland of Washburn, Toivo Suo of Iron River, Woodrow Baldwin of Bayfield, and Roy Callan of Port Wing. 60 in all make up November's draftees from Bayfield. 77 men left Siren in Burnett County yesterday, led by Clarence Culbertson of Webster, Adolf Hoff of Danbury, and August Kurtz of Grantsburg. In all, that's 208 more men leaving our region for training. We also have a note from the fighting in New Guinea. That Poplar native, Lieutenant Richard Bong, has been transferred there. And that's interesting, Lou. He'll be flying the new P-38 fighter planes.
Well, let's hope that Lieutenant Bong will have success there. Godspeed to all of these young men. And with the new law requiring 18-year-olds to be drafted, there's been more interest in enrolling in Ashland Signal Corps training program. They have 300 students right now with a capacity for another 100. And finally, Jack, a happy day in Washburn Sunday as hundreds of Washburn citizens turned out for the dedication of the new DuPont Elementary School. It cost $120,000 to build.
Wow. What was it made of, Lou? Gold?
Well, it's a first-class elementary school, all right. The Washburn High Band, under the direction of Max Freeberg, will play, and the school children sang in a program for the public. Board of Education President Robert Sparks presented contractor Ed Tomlinson of Frank Tomlinson & Sons and Duluth architect Thomas Shefchik with congratulations at the ceremony.
For $120,000, I guess the Tomlinsons should be doing the thanking. Lou Martin, ladies and gentlemen, with the news. Oh, boy, lots of it, too, hey? That forecast from the U.S. Weather Bureau on Duluth Hillside for this Tuesday, November 17th, 1942, says it'll be getting chilly tonight. Big surprise. Expect a low of around 17 degrees. That's quite a change from today's high of 52 and yesterday's nice 59 degrees. Well, turn up the old Philco, friends, and warm up with Glenn Miller and his orchestra, and don't sit under the apple tree on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS.
Down Lover's Lane with anyone else but me.
Anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. No, no, no. Don't go walking down Lover's Lane with anyone else but me till I come marching home.
I just got word from a guy who heard from the guy next door to me. The girl he met just loves to pet, and it fits you to a T. So
don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me till I come marching home.
Don't give up with those lips of yours to anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. Watch the girls on the foreign shores. You'll have to report to me when you come marching home. Don't hold anyone on your knee. You better be true to me. You better be true to me. You better be true to me. Don't hold anyone on your knee. You're getting a third degree when you come marching home. You're on your own, whether guarantee this is one thing that I'll do. I won't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but you till you come marching home.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. I know the apple tree is reserved for you and me.
Oh, boy, that'll shake the old speaker of your radio friends. That's Glenn Miller, and Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree on the Martin McKenna Show on station KUWS. Hey, Lou, I'm in the mood for a show tonight, especially that John Wayne movie at the Beacon. How about it?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to see.
Well, you mean you'll have to ask Harriet. She'll probably want to see that Dr. Kildare movie at the Princess Theater. Gals really seem to go for that, Doctor.
Well, like I said, old buddy, we'll have to see. But I do have some help-wanted announcements that we should pass along.
Have at it, Romeo.
Well, M&C Filling Station is looking for an attendant at its Belknap and Catlin location. Good wages. You should apply in the morning only. Capital Market wants a dependable truck driver who knows the city of Superior. A waitress is needed at the Prince's Sweet Shop. You apply within the shop.
Now, that's a job with great benefits. Say, that gas station job, though. I could do that in the morning, come to work in the afternoon. I don't know.
How do you know that about the benefits?
I figure they must give you a break on the goodies. That's the least they could do. Maybe all the free licorice you want.
Or the caramels. I love their caramels.
Ever try the Sweet Shop's chocolate drops? I'll tell you what.
Their whorehounds are the best.
Oh, ho, 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 ho.
Hey, Lou, remember those help-wanted announcements?
That's right, Ray. Sorry, I got kind of sidetracked.
Whorehounds? I don't know, Ray. They taste like medicine.
Anyway, guys, one more help-wanted here from Chef's Restaurant. They're looking for a waitress.
I'm always looking for a waitress. Chefs, huh? Good burgers.
You're not going to do this with food again, Jack. Probably best that you get on with the music.
Yeah, well, Ray Paulson will be in next with the sporting news, but right now, after we hear from Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra, and yes, indeed, on station KUWS, broadcasting from the land of beautiful lakes.
Yes, indeed.
Hallelujah.
I mean,
when it hits you, yeah.
holler. Yes, in the yes, yes. It comes out if it's in you. Yes, in the
yes, in the
makes you shout, Jack, it sends you. Yes, in the
but let it get you. When the jazz start jumping, you shout,
let me in there.
Well, all right then. When it hits you, you holler.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Fine sounds of Yes Indeed, Tommy Dorsey's, with the vocals by Cy Oliver and Joe Stafford, on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS. Well, as promised, here's the old whorehound lozenge lover himself, Rapid Ray Paulson, with the sporting news.
Well, Jack, you gotta give whorehounds a chance. Good evening, sport fans. Wrigley Field turned out the largest crowd of the season. More than 42,000 people watched the Chicago Bears put it to our beloved Packers of Green Bay. The score of 38-7 tells it all. Only Cecil Isabel's string of five passes to Don Hutson put the Pack on the board in the very closing minutes of the game. That gives the Bears a two-game lead in its National Professional Football League division. Looks like they'll end up playing the Skins of Washington for the title next month. And Jack, PGA tournament man Freddie Corcoran has joined the Red Cross and is looking forward to going overseas. He wants to check out Scotland's Troon Golf Course. Corcoran says the RAF used it for bombing practice, and now the course is considered one of the most challenging in the circuit.
Especially if they're still using it for bombing practice, right?
That's the sporting news for now. Remember, everyone loves a good sport.
Thanks, Ray. Rapid Ray Paulson, friends. He's a lover. Maybe we could take in a movie later, eh? The Flying Tigers are held over another night.
You know, I like that John Wayne. I wonder if that theater has any whorehounds at the candy counter.
Only the best places have it. Of course. On with the music now. Here's Benny Carter and his orchestra's All of Me on the Martin McKenna Show on Station KUWS. enjoyable sounds of King Carter from 1940 and All of Me. Take All of Me. There's enough there for all of us. On station KUWS, hiya, Lou.
Remember when we first started in radio in 1925?
No one really knew what the heck we were supposed to do.
But we learned over the years. I remember at first radio sets were, well, they were few and far between.
Yeah, people used to make radio sets out of Quaker oatmeal tubes or Copenhagen snuff boxes. Even you wouldn't sound all that great on one of those home sets.
Well, the director of Ashland Signal Corps School is putting out a plea for people to donate their old radios. Gernard Wickman, you'll remember him as the director of the Superior Vocational School before the war, wants us to pass the word along that old radios are needed for his training school.
Well, people are pretty attached to their old radios, Lou, but friends, it's a small sacrifice when you think of what those 200-some boys we send out to Fort Sheridan just today will be going through. So call Gernard Wickman if you have an old radio lying around the attic. Well, now, here's a swinging big band number that'll sound great on any radio. This is the silky sounds of Dick Hames and Helen Quartz on the Martin McKenna Show on station KUWS. It had to be you.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross, or try to be false, but they wouldn't do. For nobody else gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still, it had to be you, wonderful you, it had to be you.
It had to be you, it had to be you, I wandered around. And finally found somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Might never be me, might never be cross, or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do.
For nobody else gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still.
It had to be you, wonderful you,
it had to be.
Yes, the dulcet tones of Dick Hames and Helen Forrest. It had to be you on station KUWS.
Let me present Miss Harriet Feurig, our entertainment editor, with what's playing at the theater.
Wow, Harriet, are those pearl earrings?
Why, Jack, you noticed.
How unexpected. Maybe by noticing those earrings, you can butter up a certain person so we can all go and see the Flying Tigers.
You're too suspicious to impugn my motives, Lou. I was simply admiring Harriet's earrings. Gee, I wonder, did someone give them to you as a gift, maybe?
He certainly did. What a thoughtful man.
A certain red-headed lad who we all know and love.
Anyway, Jack, here's Harriet Farwig with What's at the Theater.
His face matches his hair now, friends.
Jack, don't embarrass Lou.
The movies, Harriet, please.
Some fine films are showing in Superior. At the Palace, it's Betty Davis and Paul Henreiden, now Voyager. The Superior Theater is showing Jack London's Martin Eden starring Glenn Ford. People's has that Charlie Chaplin classic Back for Another Run you can't miss with Chaplin's The Gold Rush. Let's see. The Princess Theater has a big modern romance, Dr. Kildare's Crisis, featuring Lionel Barrymore, Lorraine Day, and Robert Young. Just 30 cents to get in at the Princess Theater. That's about it, Jack and Lewis.
I think you're missing something, Harriet. You know, the Beacon? You didn't mention the Beacon Theater.
Let's see here. Well, they have newsreels and a Donald Duck cartoon. Just right for you, Jack.
Oh, boy. And the Flying Tigers, Donald Duck. It's being held over so we can still go and see it.
This would be your third time, Jack.
Well, yeah, but each time you get something new out of it. Come on, guys, it'll be fun.
Well, as long as it's just us guys, how can a gal turn down an offer like that? Flying Tigers it is, then.
Hey, you're quite a sport, Harriet.
Lewis, John Wayne on the silver screen is better than Dr. Kildare.
Those pearl earrings have you in a very agreeable mood, Harriet.
We'll go as long as you get the candy, Jack. Even for Ray and his whorehounds.
I knew there was a catch. To see the Flying Tigers? Well, it's worth it. We'll bid you adieu once again, friends. We'll be back same time, same place, provided the good Lord's willing and the creek remains at its present level. For Lou and Harriet, then, and Ray, of course, this is Jack McKenna speaking. Good night.
This is Radio Superior 1942, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research by Sarah Dorman. Harriet Farwig is played by Jennifer Simonson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1942 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Your comments are welcome at 394-8530. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1942. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.